How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? Our castaway this week is a singer, one of our finest basses, Owen Branigan. Owen, how well do you think you could endure loneliness?
Well, I think I would get on very well. I can enjoy my own company quite well.
What would you be happiest to have got away from?
Oh, well, that, I'm not sure about that. I'm quite happy as I am, really.
Contented man?
Yes.
Did you have any plans in selecting your 8 records?
I found it very, very difficult because knowing so many friends who have made records, it was like making up a program for a conference of singing teachers.
Well, going back to the beginning, you have an Irish surname, but you were born in northeast England.
I was born in northeast England of Irish parents.
Yes. Whereabouts exactly?
Annetsford, a little coal river just 7 miles north of Newcastle-on-Tyne.
Where I believe they've named a street after.
That's right, Owen Branigan Drive. Quite a long name.
Do you come from a musical family?
I think I do, yes. My father was 50-odd years the organist and choir master of the local church, and that's where I began my singing.
How early in life did you decide you wanted to be one day a singer?
Oh, I think from the day I began singing, from about 6.5 to 7 years old, as a boy soprano.
There was no particular inspiration?
No inspiration, no.
What's the first record you've chosen?
Well, I want to hear part of the overture from Mozart's opera Don Giovanni.
Mm.
Mozart's my favourite composer. I always imagined myself as an operatic bass, even from my very early days singing Mozart. One of my favourite parts was to be Lepero in Don Giovanni. And I didn't do it in half measures in learning the part. I used to start at the overture so that I got the real feeling of what it should feel like. I used to imagine this man behind the curtain, ready for the end of the overture. And I felt all his nerves and all his the weight of the opera on his shoulders. And that feeling I'd like to hear again.
The latter part of Mozart's Overture to Don Giovanni, played by the Glyndebourne Festival Orchestra, conducted by Fritz Busch. Well, that was some imaginings that did come true, and indeed you sang Leporello many times with that orchestra and conductor. Did you see a lot of opera as a child, Owen?
Not much, no. I remember my first opera was sort of present I got from my parents for winning a piano prize. If I got over 90 marks, I was promised an opera performance, and I was taken to Newcastle-on-Tyne to see the Carl Rosa in the Bohemian Gale, a night I never forgot.
Music wasn't your first profession, was it? You learned another job.
Yes, I did. I was apprenticed to the joinery trade,
mm-hmm.
Apprentice joiner in the village.
Yes. But there was music in your life as well.
Yes, there was only music and woodwork.
The church choir?
Church choir, the male voice choir, blowing the organ, playing the organ, singing in quartets and what. Playing the dance band, even.
Mm.
But I always wanted to play in a brass band. You know, a brass band plays a very big part in the festivities of a local colliery village, and I thought this was great stuff to do. I always wanted to play the trombone, but the trombone player in the band, or one of the trombone players, was very, very healthy, because each Friday night I went to say, is there a trombone going? The secretary said, no, he's still playing it. So I never got a trombone, but I must have a brass band record on any island I go to. And of course, you can't have a brass band record very well without the name of Mortimer on it, can you? The one I've chosen is a euphonium solo by Alec Mortimer, who who incidentally conducted the Champion Band last year when I sang with them 20 concerts. And one of the songs I sang 20 times, at Alec's request, of course, was a song that Alec plays with the euphonium on this record, conducted by his father, Drinking.
And Harry, I bet, was in the band.
Harry was there too, all the more to my world.
Foden's Motorworks Band with all the Mortimers. So, Owen, you were a joiner by day and singing in the evenings. What was the next important thing to happen?
Well, I left the north of England and came to London to be a joiner and a singer.
Yes. Had you really studied singing?
No, I hadn't, no.
You're just sung?
I just sung, yes.
So where did you study?
I studied at the Guildhall School of Music as a night student.
After a hard day's work?
After a hard day's work, every night.
Every night of
every
the week?
Every night of the week, yes.
This must have been pretty expensive with fares and tuition fees and
all. Oh, well, I had a marvellous help from the firm I worked for, who always saw that I was very near to Victoria Embankment.
Yes.
And actually, I joined the opera class and became one of the chorus. It was one of the pictures in my first opera, which was Ruddy Gore. And Sir Landon Ronald came to one of the performances and said, I would like to hear on Monday morning the third picture from the left.
And that was you?
That was me. And so from that I got a scholarship, everything paid.
And that was very useful.
Yes.
When did you decide to give up your daytime job and be a full-time professional singer?
Well, I didn't have to decide. That was decided for me. The directors of Sadler's Wells then, Joan Cross and Lawrence Collingwood, heard me do some little broadcast and made me, on the strength of that, principal bass of Sadler's Wells Opera.
On the strength of hearing one broadcast?
One broadcast, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you were, a professional singer at last, so I think this is the point to break off for record number three. What next?
Well, of course, it must be my first opera, Ruddy Gore. And I would especially like to hear a great friend of mine sing in Ruddy Gore, George Baker. He recorded this in his 79th year, which I think is marvellous. He is actually 80 this week, and I would like to wish him many, many happy returns. And it was a great pleasure that I'd hear him sing his song in Ruddy Gore.
My boy, you may take it from me that of all the afflictions accursed with which a man saddled and hampered and addled, a dip into nature's the worst. Though clever as clever can be, a frighten of early romance, you must stir it and stuff it and blow your own trumpet, or trust me, you'll happen to chance. If you wish in the world to advance, your merits are bound to enhance. You must tell it and stamp it and blow your own trumpet, or trust me, you happen to chance. Now take, for example, my case. I've a bright intellectual brain. In all London City, there's no one so witty. I thought so again and again. I've a highly intelligent face. My features cannot be denied. But whatever I try, sir, I fail in a writer.
I don't know.
I'm modesty personified. If you wish in the world to advance, or minutes you're bound to enhance, you must study and stamp it and blow your own trumpet, or trust me, you haven't a chance.
George Baker singing one of the songs from Ruddy Gore, the Glyndebourne version conducted by Sir Malcolm Sargent. Now, you were with the Sadler's Wells Opera Company for some years as principal bass, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
This was wartime by now.
This was wartime, yes.
And they didn't have a London theatre?
No, it came back later to Sadler's Wells.
All that touring in wartime couldn't have been any kind of picnic.
Very tough, especially as one became a concert singer, very much in demand at the same time, so one had to sing concerts in Hull and opera in Liverpool.
And after the war, the company went on continental tours?
Yes, to Germany.
When did you leave Sadler's Wells, that first time?
I left them immediately after the German tour.
Yes.
I left them three times, I think it's a good thing.
Well, since that first time, apart from returning to Sadler's Wells on odd occasions, you've been mainly a freelance. You've sung at Glyndebourne and Covent Garden, you've sung oratorios and concerts, and a lot of travelling.
Travelling is the main part of a singer's life. And one's got to see that one travels easily and keeps one's health.
You've travelled abroad a lot, of course.
A lot, yes.
Well, let's have your next record. What's number four going to be?
Number four is the Serenade to Music by Vaughan Williams. There are 16 singers on this, which to me represent the golden age of English singing. They were the great singers of the day when I entered the profession, and I was very honoured to think that they accepted me so willingly. They all become great friends, and to take this record would be like taking, as people take a photograph album with them, this would be a record album of the voices that I loved. It gave me great enjoyment.
On this particular section, who are we going to hear?
Well, of course, I would like to hear Isabel Bailey, whom I sang so many times. And then I would like to hear the bass section with friends like Roy Henderson, Bob Easton, and Norman Allen. Norman, especially a great friend of mine, and I wouldn't like to go to any island without a recording of the great voice of Norman Allen.
Vaughan Williams' Serenade to Music, recorded as a tribute to Sir Henry Wood in 1938 by 16 very distinguished singers, some of which we heard on that excerpt. Owen, you've created quite a few roles in opera, haven't you?
Quite a number, yes.
Several of the Britain operas.
Yes, four of the Britain operas, yes. It was by Malcolm Williamson and John Gardner.
In a couple of the Britain operas, he wrote parts specially for you.
He did, yes. Noah's Flood and Midsummer Night's Dream. And others.
Oh, more than a couple.
Yes, Swallow and Peter Grimes.
What are you up to now?
Still singing new works and finding some old friends turning up again, because Swallow and Peter Grimes, which I sang the first night on June the 7th, 1945, I'm singing on June the 7th in Prague in 1965.
Have you any one big ambition still unfulfilled, professionally?
Yes, I've always wanted to sing the part of Baronox in Rosencavalier. It's been my fault that I haven't. I've been offered it at the wrong time, or time didn't suit me or something. But now I find that I wished I had sung Baronox.
Yes.
Probably I still can do it yet.
What's your next record?
The next record, of course, is from the part of the world I come from. It's a tune that's played whenever I enter any sort of concert where there's a signature tune needed. A song called Bladen Races. The first line goes, I went to Bladen Races on the 9th of June, 1862, on a summer's afternoon. Well, in 1962, centenary of the song, I was able to broadcast it to the world from the Festival Hall, which, of course, was a very great occasion. Mm-hmm. I would like to hear a citizen's choir from concert, who came down on an all-night bus and recorded this song.
Bladen Races, sung by the Concert Citizens Choir. You've made a big collection yourself of Tyneside songs, haven't you?
I have, yes. Hundreds of them of all sorts. Mm.
You've tracked them down in the villages yourself?
Yes.
Well, what's your next record?
My next record is a work I love, The Dreamer Grontius. And I would especially like to hear the Sanctus Fortis from that, sung by Hedel Nash, who incidentally in my very early days was a great friend, a great help. He actually sang a free concert in my village for me, which is never to be forgotten. And also, I happen to sing in his last Dream of Grantis, the Three Choirs Festival.
And I think with joy, whatever now beset me, pain or fear, and with a
Hedel Nash with the Liverpool Philharmonic Orchestra in an excerpt from The Dream of Grontius. In how good a castaway would you be on this island?
Well, in some ways I might be good from the point of view of reconstruction and building up of your...
Right. Now, you'd have no tools, remember.
It's amazing what one can do about tools. I needn't have a hammer. I can make a mallet. I can find sharp-edged stone. I think it'd be very good from that point of view. But what would worry me would be the sort of domestic part. I'm not very good domestically at all.
Could you cultivate? Can you get food?
No. Bad gardener. Can't fish.
Well, now you could construct a shelter and a house of some sort. Could you build a boat?
Oh, yes, I think I could.
Would you try to escape?
No, I wouldn't. I'm not adventurous. I'm not like that at all. I'll just stick it out, I think.
A boat for messing about in only.
That's all, yes.
Let's have record number 7.
Well, I would like part of the 9th Symphony by Beethoven.
Why?
First of all, I've sung it with most of the great conductors of the day. That would be a great memory. But also, it would remind me of some very tense moments of my past life when the bass is the first to sing in the choral part, and we're usually made to sit there for the full 4 movements. As time gathers up to the entry, one begins to think that voice has left you, everything has left you. Not that I'd like to relive those moments again, but it would be very stark reminders of my very big performances.
Out of all the performances you've sung, is there any particular one that you remember?
Yes, yes, there is. The first concert of the United Nations, which was given in Geneva, I was chosen as the bass to sing in the 9th Symphony. And that became an even more tense moment because I was broadcasting it through not only to England then, but to the world.
Mm-hmm. Who's going to conduct on this record?
The man who conducted in Geneva, Ernest Ansermet.
Thank you. An excerpt from Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, Ernest Ansemet conducting the Suisse Romande Orchestra, and the excerpt from the last movement leading up to the bass entry. Now, your last one, Owen. We haven't heard your voice yet.
No, and you're not going to either, because it's one of the things I just don't do, listen to my own voice, especially on record.
Well, you've made enough of them, you should be used to it by now.
I'm not used to it now.
What's your last record going to be?
Well, I would like to hear something from a work which has proved to be one of the greatest experiences of my musical life, and that is Noah's Flood by Benjamin Britten.
For vengeance shall no more appear. And now, farewell, my darling dear.
Closing passage of Benjamin Britten's Noah's Flood. If you would have just one record out of the eight you've chosen, which would it be?
It would be the last one, Noah's Flood. It would provide me with the spiritual side of things, the love of children and everything I want.
And one luxury to take with you.
Well, I think that I'd have a trombone after all.
At last.
At last, and a tutor.
Right. It's an ideal place to learn the trombone.
Then, of course, I could come back and play duets with Walter Midgley, who sings duets with me as well, and it would be the greatest double act ever.
This I must see and hear. And one book, apart from the Bible and Shakespeare.
Yes, well, I would like the complete works of G.K. Chesterton.
All bound together.
All bound together, yes.
Right, fine. And thank you, Owen Brannigan, for letting us hear your choice of Desert Island Discs.
Thank you, Roy. It's been a great pleasure.
Goodbye, everyone.